Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I don't know that we're capable of being honest in this country anymore. I would like to think so, but I'm not sure. David Brooks has an op-ed out in the New York Times. Let me read you a quote. He just actually pushed it out on social media. The anti-Trump echo chamber is becoming a mirror image of Trump himself, overwrought, uncalibrated, and incapable of having an intelligent conversation about any complex policy problem. Maybe so. And now I say this, and welcome, by the way. I should start here at this point. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson, Atlanta's Evening News on WSB. The phone number is, wait, no, it's not Atlanta's Evening News. That's, y'all, I have done this all week. I apologize. I do have another show, and it is in the evenings, and it is Atlanta's Evening News, but that's not this show. This is my own show, the Eric Erickson Show, and it's a morning show, not an evening show. It is, listen, it's a Friday that is drunk and thought it was Monday. That's not me, Friday itself. We actually got up this morning. Say to me, oh my gosh, no. Y'all, seriously, we've hit peak teenager in our house. Whereas we're headed to bed last night, the teenager says, we're out of bread. I ate the bread. Well, you're thinking, well, make her start. But the problem is it's not hers. It's her brother. So I had to, at midnight last night, decide, do I want to go to Ghetto Kroger and get mugged in the parking lot? Or do I want to wait for Publix to get up this morning? And I wound up stewing over that. Got up this morning, had to scramble around. I'm still behind in show prep because I had to go buy bread so that the 11-year-old would have a sandwich for lunch at school today because the 14-year-old ate all the bread. It's just one of those days. You'll have to bear with me. We'll get through this together. The phone number here on the Eric Erickson Show, if you would like to be a part of the program, is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. Listen, y'all, I just keep it real. Now, this has been, the reason I say we can't actually have a nonpartisan conversation here is not me, and it's probably not most of you listening. We should be capable of having a conversation that recognizes some facts people don't want to actually give credit for. But it is a fact. We have the jobless economy report right now. They were expecting 160,000 jobs to be created. What was created was 145,000 jobs. The unemployment rate is holding steady at 3.5%. There are a record number of Americans working. And this is actually a good thing. We've got record unemployment. We have record, we've got record growth in the stock market. 401ks are doing well. I don't know about your 409. I assume your 409, if you've got one, is doing well as well. The president killed the number one bad guy on the planet. The Iranian response to it is functionally impotent. And I am assuming that people are going to be able to, oh, who am I kidding? They're not going to be able to give the president credit for this. This was a really good week for the president of the United States. It was a really good week for the president. It is a week where the president of the United States was able to come out and look like a statesman. The president of the United States was able to come out and say, hey, we got rid of the guy who is destabilizing the Middle East. The Iranian response was they literally pounded sand. The Iranians sent 15 missiles, 4 broke apart in air, a fifth exploded or landed and broke up without exploding. 10 of them landed at Al-Asad Air Base. There was no loss of life. They literally blew up sand dunes. There were a couple of pieces of infrastructure that were vacant that were blown up. The Iranians have now come out and said, oh, we meant to do that. We meant to blow up sand dunes. The Iranians, we now know, shot down Ukraine's airline. And the media pivot is awfully gross. The media pivot is to attack and say that President Trump caused the plane to go down. Y'all, this is actually pretty striking. Donald Trump caused climate change to commit 200 plus acts of arson in Australia. Donald Trump caused the Iranians to shoot down a commercial jetliner. And Donald Trump apparently is to blame for the movie Cats. I mean, he's got to be. It's that awful. Surely he's to blame for the movie Cats as well. Y'all. And now you know what the media is outraged about? Let me reroute my sound here to make sure you're going to be able to hear this audio. I want to play you. The Donald Trump, we've got lots of lines from the rally last night. But I want to play you this particular soundbite that has the media apoplectic about Donald Trump this morning. This is the latest thing they're complaining about. Listen to the President of the United States.
But they want to have open borders. They want to have sanctuary cities. The radical Democrats have never been more extreme than they are right now. They are stone cold crazy. You know, it's interesting. As I'm saying this stuff, you know, they want crime, they want chaos. I'm saying all this stuff, and then I say, gee, now I sort of understand why they hate me, right? But it's true. It's true. Their policies are a disaster. They're bad politicians, and they have horrible policies. But what they do, they stick together, and they're vicious. They're vicious, horrible people. I didn't used to say that. They're horrible people. What they do to people is a disgrace, but they stick together. Now, the Republicans, thank you very much. The Republicans, my man, the Republicans, we were 196 to nothing in the House, and I have a feeling the Senate's going to be great also. 196 to nothing, and we took in three Democrats.
That was the president speaking at his rally last night. The media is upset. He called the Democrats vicious, horrible people. Where was the media when Hillary Clinton was calling Trump's voters deplorable? Where was the media? Because I distinctly remember the media talking about it, but not with sustained outrage. The President of the United States tells people the Democrats are vicious, horrible people, and that's all the media wants to talk about this morning. Do you know why it's all the media? Well, they want to talk about Megxit, too. Meghan Markle, Harry, Prince Harry, leaving Britain. Big, you know, we fought a revolution, so we wouldn't have to care about these people, and every American seems to care about them. But the media wants to talk about that, and they want to talk about the president calling Democrats vicious, horrible people in a way they never wanted to talk about the Democrats calling Trump voters deplorable. Yes, I'm talking fast. I'm wound up. Slow down. That's what they want to fixate on today, because they can't fixate on the last week. They can't really talk about the last week. To the extent they talk about the last week, they've got to now blame the President of the United States for taking down an airliner that he had nothing to do with. They've got to try to find something to blame the president about, because he had a really, really good week. He had a really good week. He got rid of the strategic genius behind Iran's advancement in the Middle East. The Iranians responded impotently. And we've got jobs numbers today that we have record employment in this country. That's really good. That's really good. And yet the media can't bring themselves to say it. The media at this point is completely polluted with partisans against the president. You know, my morning piece, I had a moment of brilliance yesterday. It is rare. Y'all, it is rare for me. You know, I have hit 44 and dad brain and getting old and firing on all these cylinders. Listen, I had a moment of brilliance yesterday. Let me share with you some of my moment of brilliance. In the modern era, It is difficult to come up with an administration that has spent as much energy trying to sabotage its successor in office. Obama administration officials have worked tirelessly to embed themselves into media outlets as supposedly objective voices. After the president oversaw the killing of Iranian jeweler Qasem Soleimani, and as missiles fell from the night sky into Iraq and Iran, or into Iraq from Iran, those voices took to the airwaves to push the Obama line against President Trump. In the American media, with help from former Obama staffers, Trump was the bad guy, Iran was the good guy, Iran de-escalated tensions, Trump made things worse. On CNN alone, you had Jim Sciutto of the Obama administration sitting as an objective news anchor. CNN also now, by the way, has Valerie Jarrett's daughter Laura in an anchor chair. They had hired her as a Department of Justice reporter. They've now booted a guy in the morning named Dave Briggs, who was awesome, and they put her in his chair. The white guy got booted out so Valerie Jarrett's daughter could get his position. And so now she's on the early morning show as a news anchor because, you know, we CNN's got to have diversity now, but they've all got to be Obama voices. And he didn't work for Obama and his mom didn't work for Obama. So he had to be canned so we could get an Obama surrogate in the anchor chair at CNN. We've now got two people with direct ties or indirect ties to the Obama administration who are in anchor chairs at CNN. They can toss to news analysts who also work for Barack Obama and ask them, hey, how what did things do? And obviously, orange man bad. You've got James Clapper of the Obama administration pretending to be a straight news national security analyst for CNN. I mean, it makes me want to bring back Baghdad Bob. Now, when I was a kid, you had the Americans invaded Iraq. This was the George Bush Iraq War. So I was growing up at this time, but there was Baghdad Bob. Baghdad Bob was the Iraqi press guy for Saddam Hussein, and Baghdad Bob would hold these bizarre press conferences every day where he would say that they have the American swine, they've surrounded the American swine, they have destroyed an entire division of Americans. We shot them as they jumped out of planes from the sky. Their dead bodies littered the ground as they fell. We blew up stealth bombers, he would say. He would bring out these things and he would show, this is from the stealth bomber we shot down, and it was not. Literally, as the Americans are moving tanks into the streets of Baghdad, Baghdad Bob is having a press conference saying the Americans have been destroyed, the Iraqis are declaring victory, the war is over. Literally, I mean, that's it. And that guy was more credible than James Clapper. Newsweek actually reported last week, James Clapper, this is a direct quote, James Clapper, the former director of national intelligence, has urged Americans to be skeptical of President Donald Trump's justification for the assassination of Iranian General Qasem Soleimani. Meanwhile, the New York Times reports the CIA director, who Clapper supported, quote, had advised Mr. Trump that the threat the Iranian general presented was greater than the threat of Iran's response if he was killed, according to current and former American officials. Indeed, Ms. Haspel had predicted the most likely response would be a missile strike from Iran to bases where American troops were deployed, the very situation that appeared to be playing out. So who do we believe? The CIA director? Or the people ideologically dedicated to protecting Barack Obama's precious Iran deal? In fact, whether you're watching the Obama team anchor CNN or mouth off on MSNBC or provide supposedly objective news analysis, it's striking how much they deny reality. The whole idea that Iran was somehow able and capable of doing all of this without that money that we gave them. The fact is their attack was functionally impotent, but it could not have, they couldn't have fueled the missiles had Barack Obama not given them $155 million. We gave them that money. In 2015, in defense of the deal, Secretary of State John Kerry told CNBC some of Iran's money would go to terrorist groups. Here's a direct quote from John Kerry in 2015. I think that some of it will end up in the hands of the IRGC or other entities, some of which are labeled terrorists. You know, to some degree, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that every component of that can be prevented, Kerry said. The IRGC is the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps. Soleimani was in charge of the Quds force connected to it, and the Iranians used the money Barack Obama sent them to fund the terrorists. They funded the IEDs with it. They funded the militias. They funded the missiles. And now Obama reporters, Obama surrogates, Obama loyalists, they're on TV shaping the news, telling you what to believe and telling you what to think, telling you what is the news and telling you what isn't the news. They anchor the news desk. They serve as the purported objective analysts. You've got the Obama loyalist as the news anchor talking to the Obama loyalist as news analyst about what happened. And guess what? Orange Man Bad is the entire thing. The president of the United States killed Iran's top man. The Iranians couldn't respond functionally to it. And the jobs report is good. Unemployment is a record low. Jobs are record high. The stock market is record high, and all the media can do is pivot to try to find something to complain about the president. Oh, and by the way, Nancy Pelosi's impeachment is starting to fall apart. After weeks of everyone saying Nancy Pelosi is a strategic genius, it's beginning to fall apart. Even Democrats in the House are starting to say there's a problem. Even Democrats are coming out saying, no, we shouldn't curtail the president's abilities to fight with this war power resolution. Y'all, it's been a good week for the president. Whether you like him or not, be intellectually honest enough to give him credit for a good week. Be intellectually honest enough to recognize it was Iran that shot down a jetliner, not the president of the United States. There are times where I complain about Republicans not being intellectually honest. They're not willing to acknowledge that the president did something wrong. And some of you will, in the course of the history of this program, get mad at me for saying that. But I think if you surrender your intellectual honesty, you and I may disagree about outcomes. We may look at things and look the same way, but look at them differently, see the same facts and interpret them differently, and that's fine. But it's really, really, really hard to surrender all honesty and every sense of humility just to wage partisan warfare just designed to get yourself back in power. And that's where we are with the left today, which I guarantee you is going to try to find something to distract from the fact that it's been a really good week for the president of the United States.
I really do like his opinion on things.
Eric Erickson, the information you need and the truth you demand.
He tells it like it is.
Live every weekday.
I promise I haven't been passively aggressive with the pound cake recipe that I promised like 3 days in a row I would send out. I know. Listen, I'm sorry. Life gets in the way sometimes. Life gets in the way. I will get it to you, though. I want to play some audio for you. This is Katie Simpson. She's with Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. Let's start with the Canadians. We'll move to the Americans.
I think a significant question that Canadians, particularly the families of these victims, are going to have is, are 63 Canadians dead because of the unintended consequences of a decision made by the U.S. president? And that's going to be a big question because there have been very significant questions and concerns raised here in Washington about why the United States decided to act. Why did it decide to kill Iran's top general when it did? The United States top officials in the Trump administration have publicly said there was evidence that showed General Soleimani posed an imminent threat to American lives. However, lawmakers, particularly Democrats, have come forward to say the information they have been provided on a top secret basis does not satisfy the questions they have, does not answer the questions about, okay, what was that imminent threat? Why did you decide to do this? What exactly was at risk? Who was exposed? Why did the Trump administration decide to make this move? Now, because, of course, the consequences many had feared in the United States and around the world, those consequences would be quite significant.
You just heard a Canadian reporter essentially blame Donald Trump for this. Listen to Chris Cuomo's discussion on CNN.
The ability to escape responsibility for this. There's this suggestion, oh, they'll probably blame the United States. Well, how? Forensically, are you going to be able to determine where these missiles came from if they let the NTSB in on the investigation, as has been ping-ponged back and forth? The latest word is that Iran would let Boeing, the manufacturer, have a representative there, which may well be an NTSB rep to go. Would you be able to rule out that this was anybody but them? And then how do you escape responsibility?
Well, you would be able to rule out who it wasn't.
Right.
I don't know if you'd say who it was or why they did what they did. But it's definitely, we can do rebuilds. If you remember the MH17 2017 accident. That was a different missile. It was the MR-56 Buk missile, but that was a different set. It was much more sophisticated. But at the same time, we were able to reconstruct it, show exactly where those penetrations went in, where they came from. And in fact, we know that it was 3 meters from the cockpit when that explosion happened and sending shrapnel into the airplane. So from this, we can take that shrapnel, take that aircraft and those pieces and do a reconstruction and find out nearly exactly where it exploded and the direction and which way it came from.
So the facts will show who has to own this, whether it will be owned and what it means going forward. We're going to take up later in the show.
But it's not in dispute at this point that the Iranians are the ones who launched the missiles to shut it down. The United States did not blow up an airliner. But if you listen to most of the press coverage, you would think Donald Trump is personally responsible for blowing up a Ukrainian airliner leaving Iran, which is absolutely not true. Trump derangement syndrome is polluting the press. All righty. Welcome back. It is Eric Erickson here. I've got joining me on the phone, assuming this is working because I'm routing it myself since my call screener is killing hogs. I've got Chris Burns on the phone with me. How are you?
I'm fantastic, Eric. How are you, sir?
I am great. I wanted to get you on the phone. I'm glad I can do this. Y'all, I'm literally routing my cell phone by Bluetooth to the mixer in the studio on my own on the fly because I got a call screener hog hunting. Now, I wanted to get you on. Chris Burns, not only guest host, but the head of Dynamic Money. This jobs report, not the 160,000 that statisticians and all were expecting, but still really good.
Still really solid, and much of what we've seen, honestly, for the last number of years, which is, I mean, we're breaking records, obviously. It's 10 years now of consecutive job growth, which is the longest we've ever seen since they've been tracking this for 80 years, over double the longest of the previous record. Unemployment, the lowest, since the Vietnam War. Really, everything points towards things are going really well. The one kind of confusing point, and economists have been talking about this for years, it doesn't make any sense to anyone, is that wage growth has been somewhat stagnant. We've seen a little bit of wage growth for low-income earners, but really beyond that, not a lot. And it doesn't make sense because when you have this reduced labor pool because unemployment is so low, that drives competition. Competition usually drives up wages. But we're not seeing that. And so that's probably the only point in the report that's confusing in the midst of overall what looks very, very strong.
Yeah, that is in the free market. It does seem to be that, I mean, we hear these reports. And in fact, I guess we're seeing that story now that even Taco Bell is having to pay some managers of stores now upwards of $100,000 in some markets. So and the minimum wage does seem to be rising, but it really isn't what a lot of people have expected. That is kind of weird.
Yeah, and it goes across the board to it's the same conversation about inflation, but literally no one really understands why inflation hasn't been going up because it according to traditional economics, it should be. Some of the reasons given would be there's pressure and, you know, you have the kind of unease and unrest that companies feel about not wanting to put a lot more money out because of economic pressures, geopolitical pressures, the trade war with China. And you have to remember these job reports are actually based on surveys that are done earlier in the month. And so when the surveys, the numbers we're looking at now were done before the USMCA, kind of NAFTA 2.0 was passed. They were done before the phase one China deal was agreed. So it may end up next month we'll get an annual review that'll be much more specific, and it may end up that December looks a lot better than we expected because of some of these things that have caused people to take a deep breath and calm down a little bit. But again, nobody could look at this and say, wow, this is awful. There's fantastic, consistent, solid growth in the U.S. economy, and that should give, on a practical level for me and you, give us a lot of confidence because the driving force of our economy is the American consumer. And with that many Americans employed, that says really good things about where we're going.
Well, on that point, let's just go there, because we also know human nature, and oftentimes human nature is when things have been going well for so long that people start to think, oh, gosh, something bad must be about to happen. That I hear all the time my theology friends say, you know, Christianity has no concept of karma, but our brains seem to have it wired into us that when things are going well, something bad must be about to happen.
Well, sure. That's why all year long it was amazing to me reading articles in really well-known publications, the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, that would not op-ed pieces, actual straight journalistic pieces that would say with no hint of irony, the coming recession, the coming downturn, that it's imminent, that it's going to be here soon, with really no evidence to back that up, honestly, except for what you just said. If we really get under the surface, just this feeling that, well, this can't last forever.
Right.
Job growth can't last forever. The economic strength can't last forever. And that's true. But again, we're already double the length of the last record on job growth. Even when you look at the bull market, even though it's the longest bull market in history, there's nothing saying it can't go five more years. But it might only be 5 months, and that uncertainty kills us. We hate uncertainty, so we want to edge towards something that we can feel some sort of belief in. And for a lot of people, it's edging towards, well, something terrible is about to happen, because we've had so much good, that bad's on its way. But there's really no evidence of that at this point.
Well, and by all signs, I mean, the evidence is, as you were saying, things continue, even with the tariffs and trade turmoil and everything else, we're doing kind of good as a nation, actually doing better, relatively speaking, than a lot of other countries out there in the West.
Yeah, and this really impacts regular people, and here's how it impacts you. If you're someone right now, I probably had five different people who came into my office last month who were laid off in the month of December, which I think is just horrific, right? It's the worst time for that to happen. But they came in, and every time their tendency would be to go, I just got to go get work. I got to go find something, whatever it is, seasonal work, anything. And I had to remind them that we are sitting at the best possible time ever in the history of recording this and for finding a job. And so if you're someone out there that's either right now laid off or you're underemployed, you're not getting paid what you think you should be paid, now there's never been a better time to look around and try to find a different position, because companies are looking. They can't find people. They can't find skilled workers. And so even if the overall wages trend isn't great and we're concerned about why is that true overall, on a micro level, in an individual case, now is the best possible time to go out and say, hey, look, I have skills. I should be getting paid better for these skills, because this won't last forever. So I would say to people, take advantage of this. This is not normal. Just like interest rates, just like mortgages right now are insanely low again. That's not going to last forever. So capitalize on it.
Well, thank you for helping me capitalize on the low interest rates for mortgages as well. I'm enjoying my refinance and my lower house payment.
Hey, I got to ask you this too. As exciting as the job numbers are, 1917 comes out today, right? This movie?
Oh, man. Yes, it comes out nationwide today. You and I need to go see that movie.
Yeah, I was about to say, we can talk about job numbers, but that looks amazing.
Those of you who don't know what this is, this is a movie that is designed to make it look like it's a single take of a guy running through the battlefields of Europe. The reviews are incredible. I know several people who saw it. It technically came out Christmas Day, but
right.
Nationwide comes out today, and I have not heard a single bad thing from a single person about this movie. We're totally going to have to go see it.
Yeah, agreed. And that directly relates to job growth, obviously, is why I brought it up.
So, yeah,
yes, exactly.
We will totally go create jobs for the people at the theater serving us popcorn.
That's right. I feel great about that.
All right.
But no, I think people should feel good. There's good things happening. The economy is solid. And honestly, again, now is the time for regular consumers to take advantage of this, because it won't last forever, to jump on it.
Yeah, I totally agree. And if people want to come to you to talk about it, to talk about their life plan with their finances, paying off their debts, refinancing their homes, where do they go to talk to you?
Yeah, they can just go to dynamicmoney.com and they can join us. They can sign up for a newsletter there, or they can come in for a free consultation. But it's just dynamicmoney.com. And I have to say this Sunday, we start our new show at 2 p.m. on WSB, if you're someone that listens to that. And we have a really remarkable first guest is going to be joining us, Eric himself. So if you want to hear more of Eric,
nobody wants to hear more of me. Now, wait a second, though. Let us promote your podcast here before you get out of here. You got a podcast. Can people just search the podcast the store for, like, Dynamic Money?
Yeah, if you look up Dynamic Money anywhere, you'll see it. We have a podcast. We have over 200 episodes out. But I'm excited because as we launch this new show, Sundays at 2, we'll have podcast extras, basically. So, for instance, you're going to be on the show this Sunday, but we'll have a lengthier interview with you that's just released in the podcast. So if people want to hear that, again, just search Dynamic Money on any of your favorite podcast spots and you'll find it. And you can listen to my beautiful voice as much as you want. So.
Yeah, and mine this Sunday. Chris Burns, thank you very much.
Hey, thanks, Eric.
Absolutely. Bye. Chris Burns, Dynamic Money, in all seriousness, he just full disclosure here, in addition to being a guest host, Chris actually is my wife's and my finance guy, too. Yeah, I have a finance guy. You can, too. And by finance guy, I mean... I used to have the ability to be really good at balancing my checkbook and paying bills and coming up with a game plan for how we were going to pay off debts. And at some point, I guess that part of my brain broke as I was trying to figure out how to build a radio show. And we were headed down the path of doing the Dave Ramsey thing. And several people, I didn't know Chris at the time, but several people who I know who I worked with said, you know, instead of doing that, why don't you talk to this guy, Chris Burns? He actually has a show on my Atlanta affiliate. And I did. We hit it off. He's great. And he basically does takes you through one-on-one, he and his team, the same ways of learning how to budget and learning how to pay off debt and all that. So he's great. And he's local. And if you want to, go to dynamicmoney.com. He's also got to be a good friend. In fact, he was at my house last night. We were recording the podcast for his show, which you can listen to. Now, let me go on because it's kind of an awkward transition to go from the economy into this Ukrainian jet situation. And I want to talk a little bit more about that. You need to hear some of the audio that's out there about it. We also need to get into the president's rally. There is news out of Georgia as well. Kelly Loeffler has signed on to a number of pro-life measures in the U.S. Senate. She's hiring her staff. The Speaker of the House has decided to pontificate on gambling, that the voters should decide. He has hired someone who got indicted in Alabama in a gambling scandal. Which is probably, again, a tone-deaf, boneheaded mood. But then that move, that's the Speaker of the House, though. We got a lot of other stuff to get into here. But bottom line on the economy, 145,000 jobs added in December that may be revised up. The jobs in Georgia, just so you know, we have now still record low unemployment in Georgia. Record low unemployment, record high job rates, employment rates in Georgia. Which is really, really good. And if we're honest about it, our elected officials don't necessarily deserve a ton of credit, but they will. And so that's good for the president and good for Brian Kemp.
Want to be on the show? Call Eric now at 877-97-ERIC. That's 877-973-7425.
A lot of questions from people this morning on what is a non-binding resolution. The House of Representatives passed a resolution, a war powers resolution, urging the president not to engage in further hostilities and disapproving of his strike on Soleimani. House Democrats also want to pass a resolution, and it's non-binding. So what's the difference between the two? Well, a resolution can have the force of law, but a resolution that has the force of law has to have legal language in it, compelling someone to either do something or refrain from doing something, and has to be passed by both houses of Congress. The non-binding resolution from the House was just a sense of the House saying orange man bad, essentially, is what it said. And so it has no force of it has no weight of law, no rule of law, nothing like that. And so that's all you need to know. Now, Mark Meadows, the outgoing chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, he took to the floor of the House and had some choice words on this issue nonetheless.
gentleman for yielding. I never thought that I would hear on this House floor an apology to the Iranian people for an action that we took that was justified taking out our terrorists. I cannot believe it. And yet we just heard that on this House floor. We have a gentleman who gave his legs in service to this country, and yet we're apologizing to the Iranians with a non-binding resolution that is nothing more than a press release, Madam Speaker. It has no effect. It doesn't do anything. In fact, the Supreme Court says that. They know that. All they're doing is trying to get a press release to keep them from having a primary opponent. This is sad. A sad, sad day. And yet here we are having another speech to try to take on the President of the United States for actually taking out a terrorist. I would ask my colleagues opposite, how many Americans does a terrorist have to kill before they join with us? Is 600 not enough? Does it have to be 1,000, 10,000, a million? At some point, we have to stand up and let the long arm of justice go in and take out these terrorists. I'm here to tell you today that this non-binding resolution, indeed, they want to talk about their constitutional requirement. Well, check with the Supreme Court. In 1983, they ruled that this has no effect. At least our senators opposite, they know that. It has to be a joint resolution. And yet, what is this vehicle normally designed for? For soapbox derbies. Well, at least that accomplishes something. All this does is emboldens our enemies to suggest that the American people are divided. But I'm here to tell you that we are not divided. We are a safer country because of the actions of this president, the decisive actions of this president and our military. And more importantly than that, this War Powers Act that got passed, it was a message that came out of a difficult time. But I want the message to be clear today. We are standing behind our military men and women. We have their back, and we will not yield.
Amen to that. Yeah, people say, oh, that's so much. Listen to Chris Matthews on CNBC discussing the death of Soleimani.
What we should have done, I go back to the congressman on this. You know, when some people die, we, you know, you don't know what the impact's going to be. When Princess Diana died, for example, there was a huge emotional outpouring. These kinds of, Elvis Presley in our culture. It turns out that this general we killed was a beloved hero of the Iranian people to the point where look at the people we got pictures of now. These enormous crowds coming out. There's no American emotion in this case, but there's a hell of a lot of emotion on the other side. Should our leaders know what they're doing when they kill somebody?
So Soleimani dying is equivalent to the death of Elvis or Princess Diana? Listen to Congresswoman Jackie Speier on CNN.
Thanks so much for joining us, and I want to start with this plane crash. Have you been briefed on it? Because it certainly sounds like it was a mistake by the Iranians. Do you think they assumed this was some sort of U.S. military plane?
Well, I have been briefed on it, Wolf, in the Intelligence Committee, so I'm not really at liberty to say. But if what is being projected is true, this is yet another example of collateral damage from the actions that have been taken in a provocative way by the President of the United States.
So it's his fault. It is his fault. Well, I want to play you more of this. This, again, Congresswoman Speier, very anti-Republican, anti-Donald Trump, on with Wolf Blitzer on CNN.
Have you been briefed on it? Because it certainly sounds like it was a mistake by the Iranians. Do you think they assumed this was some sort of U.S. military plane?
Well, I have been briefed on it, Wolf, in the Intelligence Committee, so I'm not really at liberty to say. But if what is being projected is true, this is yet another example of collateral damage from the actions that have been taken in a provocative way by the President of the United States.
Well, is this type of miscalculation, let's say, on the part of the Iranians more likely now to result in even heightened tensions?
I would say that the continued saber-rattling by the President doesn't help us. I also feel strongly that by taking out General Soleimani, that did not somehow rid us of any of the planning that the Iranians would be doing or that the Shia militia that is throughout the region is also engaged in doing. And we also have the leader of the Shia militia who was assassinated as well, that may be the subject of some efforts to seek revenge. This needs to be de-escalated. The president needs to stop saber rattling. He needs to find a way to use our allies to find a means by not just tamping this down, but getting Iran to the table where we can renegotiate a joint agreement on the use of nuclear weapons and move forward in a manner that is not as bellicose as the president has been as he addresses Iran. Iran has been a bad actor. Soleimani was a bad actor. But there are many people in that region and around the world that are bad actors. We have to find a way to live together and attempt to move towards peace.
We did that. We killed Soleimani, who was one of the chief people responsible for there not being peace in the Middle East. You know, what is striking, and I got hate mail yesterday after this program. I actually did. Yes, I did get hate mail after this program yesterday because I said something that really made a couple of people mad. It was more than one person, and I clearly incited people for saying this. And it's actually a true statement. It is a statement of fact that Donald Trump is the first president in the 21st century to not start a war in the Middle East and North Africa. That's actually a statement of fact. George W. Bush went to war in Afghanistan and Iraq. Barack Obama went to war in Libya and committed troops to Syria. Now, you may not like that I point that out, but it's a statement of fact that this president has not started wars. You all thought he was going to start a war last week. The number of people on television who were saying this was going to start World War III and it didn't. I mean, these people should never be listened to again. The number of people who were committed to the idea that he was going to start World War III. Don't listen to him again. And he hasn't. And the fact that I got hate mail for pointing that out from people who think I'm delusional. No, it's actually a statement of fact. It is a statement of fact. And Trump derangement syndrome is a real thing. When we come back, the president had a big rally last night. I've got lots of audio I want to walk through, and we've got Georgia news we need to talk about as well.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.